The Killing Bay, Foroyart Trilogy Book 2, written by Chris Ould and read by Matt Addis.
Prelude. He worked on his knees now, as if praying. Darkness and rain. Darkness and pain, from his back, from his fingers, from all over. Sweating and hot, working blind, as good as blind. The yellow light from the torch was so feeble it lit only the grass a hand's length in front of it. The rocks were heavy, rough basalt, flecked with green. Abrading his fingers and nails as he scrabbled them free, then heaved them aside. It was harder now that he had reached the lowermost stones. Over years, decades, they had grown into the earth, or the earth had grown into them, unwilling to give them up. He should have brought tools, but he had only a torch and the vodka. Coming here in darkness had been instinctive. Something held silent and hidden this long couldn't be exposed in the light. It still demanded the ritual of secrecy, even in its uncovering. He needed the darkness and the vodka to cover his fear. Another stone broke free. He rocked back with the shock of its release and let it fall to the side and roll down the slope. He panted, half sobbing. How much more could there be? How much more could he do? He was weak, he knew that. Weak-willed and weak of body, more now than ever. It was only his fear that kept him going. Fear was all he had left. For a minute, then longer, he didn't have the strength to raise his chin from his chest. He felt sick and hollow. A shell, eaten up from the inside. Eaten up, eaten away. How much more? He reached for the torch, brought it up, shook it, and was rewarded, he thought, by a faintly brighter light. Thrusting it forward, he played the glow over the rocks into a hollow, tried to make sense of the shadows it made. And then he recoiled with an exclamation of shock. Fumbled the torch, dropped it, felt his heart racing. Smooth roundness, mottled with dirt. Not rock. Bone. She was there. At the grave there was stillness and nothing to see within the circle of family black. The pastor's voice fluctuated on the wind, but he was 20 yards away, and even if the sound had carried clearly, all I'd have understood was the tone. On the far side of Scala Fiura, patches of sunlight came and went, daubing and shifting over the distant hillsides. My eye was drawn by the movement, following the light as it picked out the scattered dots of houses in a place I couldn't name, then drawn again by the distant movement of a car on the shoreline road glinting. It was that kind of day. One of the bright ones when the rain has passed and you can have a fresh start. Before I'd left England, I'd said that I wouldn't come here to stand by a graveside. It hadn't been my intention. But there again, I was pretty sure that dying hadn't been Signor Ravensfeld's intention either, not if he'd been aware enough to think about it after his penultimate stroke. Even if intention and result are two different things, I'd stayed true to my word. I wasn't by the graveside. That was for family. He'd been my father in name only, not even that. And to remain at this distance seemed about right. And then the breeze shifted and it was all done. Signar Ravensfjall was in the ground and beside the grave the mourners were released from their stillness. I cast a last look and then moved away. The church at Glivrar stood above a slope that ran down to the waters of the fjord, choppy and restless. The building wasn't one of the traditional Faroese churches, with tarred, clabbered walls and grass on the roof. Instead, it had the look of architectural thinking. Solid white walls with a square tower and steep-angled roofs nestled together. The car park beside it put me in mind of an out-of-town shopping centre.